WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is not the telephone number any longer.
Nope.
That is no longer our telephone number.
I need to learn it.
Rip up that piece of paper, throw it out. That's not our phone number anymore. The new telephone number, super easy to remember, 855-855-915-WMFO. How do you like that? 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Write it down. Call in. Be a part of the show. We love to hear from you. Coming up later on tonight, we will analyze the fallout from Brexit, successfully predicted here by yours truly last week. We will also tell you what Facebook does not want you to know and why now more than ever you need to get over to facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo.
And like us. Like me.
Go there now. The sky is falling. Is what I'm saying. I'm just going to play the cannon thing again.
Right.
How awesome was that?
Yeah.
It's like Tchaikovsky with cannons.
That is getting me ready for 4th of July. And I'm so excited because I actually have the entire weekend off. Crazy.
I want cannons.
Yeah. Every year I say it, I'm like, I hate fireworks. And I only say that because I work all of, you know, New Year's Eve and 4th of July. I actually have it off. And I'm very much excited to go see fireworks.
Yeah, but now you got to go stand in line and watch them like a schmuck.
No, I'm very smart in my positioning and I'm away from the crowds.
You think you're away from the crowds.
Yep.
There is no place that's away from... Unless you're on a boat, you're not away from the crowds.
I'll be perched on a roof deck, which will have a lot of people on it, but not as much as if you were on Lynn Shore Drive.
Yeah, you're going to be standing in line looking at the fireworks like a schmuck.
Nope.
That's just the point that I'm making.
Well, you're going to be up in New Hampshire like lighting off your own fireworks.
I wish. Oh, God. What do we got going on in the world right now, Lisa Nichols?
Well, today in local news, we learned when you hear extortion in Walsh administration, we're no longer surprised. A federal grand jury has indicted a second high-ranking member of Mayor Marty Walsh's administration for allegedly forcing a popular music festival to hire unneeded stagehands for concerts on Boston City Hall Plaza. Federal agents early Wednesday morning arrested Timothy Sullivan, the city's acting director of intergovernmental relations, on charges of conspiracy and extortion, according to U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz's office. The 7-page indictment released Wednesday alleges that Sullivan colluded with the city's tourism director, Kenneth Brissett, to withhold permits to the Boston Calling Music Festival until it hired union stagehands from the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Local 11. Brissett was indicted on similar charges in May, and the new indictment added another count. The indictment of the second department head of the City Hall further surrounds the Walsh administration in the growing federal corruption probe. The mayor took office on the strength of his deep ties with organized labor and is personally close to the 36-year-old Sullivan, who, like Walsh, grew up in the labor movement. So, once again, another black mark on the Walsh administration. Are you surprised?
You are the company you keep is a phrase that keeps bouncing through my mind whenever I hear about someone else in City Hall being indicted.
So strange.
I don't recall. I don't think there were this many. There's only two, but I don't think there were this many indictments in the entire history of the Menino administration.
Absolutely not.
So.
Well, here's the thing, Derek. When you have your entire administration based on, as he said in his, you know, campaign to become mayor, I'm all about the people and people need jobs in the city of Boston. Sounds great.
Yeah.
But when you actually get into office and we hear stories constantly, and I'm not talking about maybe 1, 2, 3 instances where something like this has happened, with every single fun thing, should we call it, whether it be, I'm going to put the Olympics aside.
Please put the Olympics
aside. With IndyCar racing, with the tennis.
Would that be the IndyCar racing people that Mara Healey is threatening
is trying to sue?
Because they haven't given refunds to anybody? Those IndyCar racing people?
Partial. But it's one thing after another. We had the big scandal going on with Top Chef, a huge, highly rated, you know, Emmy-winning show coming to Boston. You would think that would be great. Well, no, come to find out, everybody within the labor unions were harassing them.
I think we have a problem with some people in the Walsh administration who don't understand what the rules are. mm-hmm. coupled with a very aggressive prosecutor mm-hmm. for the federal DA's office, who's looking to make an example out of corrupt politicians. So these two things colliding are not doing Marty Walsh any favors.
Yeah, but when you do bad things, you're going to get caught. And I don't know if they think that a few miles down the road, when they're sitting up in City Hall Plaza, that they live in a bubble and that, you know, everything that you do is fine and nobody's going to find out about it. It is. This is the city of Boston. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
And when you start withholding permits, because we've had multiple organizations, one being the NFL and saying, or NHL, saying we're never going to go back to Fenway Park. You want a Winter Classic there? Forget it. They went this year to Gillette Stadium.
But to be fair, that was a Menino administration screw up with the NHL. That happened under his watch, not under Walsh's. I don't know if they...
Still, it's the, you know, sense of what's going on in City Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the norm?
Well, I don't know if the
and
NHL...
it's just heightened with the Walsh administration?
Well, I think that's kind of been the way things work in City Hall for a while. You know, with Menino, either you were on his good list or you were non-existent. And there were ways you got on his good list, which is you donate to these city charities or, you know. Mm-hmm. Menino never took money for himself. Menino would sit there and say, what's your community investment going to be? And he would get things for the city of Boston out of it.
As what mayors should do.
Which is, but it's still.
To a point.
It's still shady. It's gray area. But with the Walsh administration, it's not about what will you do for the city? What will you do for the community? It's what will you do for the unions? What are you going to do for the unions?
No, but what that breaks down to, Derek, is what are you going to do for me? Because happy unions make a happy Mayor Marty Walsh.
Yeah, because the unions are the ones that voted him into office, and
of
he
course,
knows
and
that.
And they're the ones that are constantly funneling money
yeah.
into his campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, the people in the city of Boston need to wake up and say, why are we not questioning this? Why are we not saying, how is this okay?
We talk
about the developments, though, that are going on in the Seaport District. You cannot go around to one of those buildings and it not say a local, you know, 112 or a local 250. It is part of the city. Forget it if you're a private company trying to come in. And from here on out, companies are going to be resistant to come into Boston because unknowing what they're going to have to deal with. It just so happened that we got lucky when we had, what's a big company coming in the Seaport?
General Electric.
It so happened that, you know, they got millions of dollars in tax breaks.
Yeah.
That's why they came.
Union
Not
jobs.
Because they're a big company that's, they have the choice between Boston and New York. Companies are going to go to New York.
I think the people in the city of Boston are more woke than you give them credit for being. And I think Marty Walsh is a one-term mayor. Because if this nonsense keeps up.
You think?
I think. Because it is painfully. Don't underestimate the power of the labor unions to swing an election in the city of Boston.
It's true.
Okay? 39% of the vote. That's what he walks in with.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the unions are on his side, 39% of the vote. That's a lot for anybody to overcome.
So at what point and how many indictments do we need from all the people in City Hall for them or for him to actually say, all right, you know what? This has gone too far. If I actually do want some sort of future in Boston politics, how are the people going to trust
me? Oh, this is the question you're up against.
He is walking a very, very fine line. And I mean, what do you think? We're stupid? We're not going to be reading local newspapers are all over this.
Well, they've got a reason to live now because every other week there's some new scandal that pops mm-hmm. up. The Boston Latin thing does not reflect positively on the mayor. And that was going to be a mess no matter what happened. Now you got all the teachers and half of the parents freaking out that Tita's gone, which she probably should have been years ago. And they're going to be unhappy with whoever comes in. You got the people who are unhappy that the mayor's office didn't do more to investigate this. So he's losing on all fronts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a rise in homicides in the city so far this summer. That does not reflect well on the mayor's office. I don't know what the status of the police and firefighters' contracts are. At least he doesn't have that to worry about. But there's a lot of bad things happening. And all he seems to be focusing his energy on is trying to get in giant public works projects that are going to create union jobs. So until he starts paying attention to what's happening in the neighborhoods, this is going to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
It is painfully obvious to anyone who's paying attention that Marty Walsh is there to serve the unions, not the people of the city of Boston. And the people of the city of Boston aren't going to put up with that. But the unions have so much power and so much influence in Boston elections that there may be nothing that the people can do. He may squeak a second term out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, the power that they have is amazing. And when you hear some of the stories about these corruption scandals and how, you know, a small food pantry tries to open in Charlestown.
Yeah.
And the parameters that it had to go around to get it. I mean, it's for the everyday person coming in, not just the large corporations that are trying to build in Fort Point next to the financial district. We're talking about small businesses as well. So, I mean, if you're not all on board on how they set the rules, you're screwed.
I think unless you've got 100 union jobs, the mayor doesn't even want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression that is out there right now. And he doesn't do himself any favors showing up at all these photo opportunities looking like a deer caught in the headlights, which he does every single time. So, you know.
He's mastered that.
Time to get out in front of some stuff, Mayor Walsh, if you want to be reelected. In national news, the Food and Drug Administration will take a fresh look at hand sanitizers as part of an ongoing investigation of chemicals that never received a thorough federal review. Ha, ha, ha. The FDA is particularly concerned about the effectiveness of hand sanitizers and the effects that daily use could have on children and pregnant women. Manufacturers will have a year to provide data on whether or not the ingredients in hand sanitizers, ethanol, alcohol, and chloride, appear in the blood or urine of pregnant women after daily use, a sign that the chemicals could impact fetal development. The FDA is also exploring possible links between hand sanitizers and the rise of multiple drug-resistant bacteria, also known as superbugs.
Oh, that's fantastic. So just to back it up, how you explained it was that there are chemicals that haven't even been approved by federal regulation.
Generally held to be safe, but we never really investigated this, is what's being said here.
We assume that they're safe, but, you know.
Yeah.
That little thing called testing to ensure for safety, you know, we kind of nixed that.
There are a whole ton of chemicals that are used in everyday products that were just sort of pushed on the market in mm-hmm. the 1970s without the FDA ever doing a review. They relied on data from manufacturers, okay? Yeah, that's all well and good. Ethanol is a naturally occurring substance if you cook the wood the right way. Mm-hmm. You know how to get the ethanol. But ethanol is a naturally occurring substance. Alcohol is a naturally occurring substance. Chlorides, depends on what kind of, they don't say what kind of chlorides are in there. Some are okay, some are bad. But they were never necessarily intended to be used on a daily basis the way that they're being used now. So there is that difference between limited exposure to something and extended, prolonged, deep exposure to something. And the FDA is getting around to the fact that they don't know what these things do.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a product that not just comes in a small container that you buy. We have them now available to fit on your keychain.
Yeah.
And I actually do have friends that are constantly just lathering themselves with hand sanitizers.
There's people all around slathering themselves with this stuff all day long.
You know, think about in so many public restrooms now, porta potties, in lieu of soap, they have hand sanitizers.
Yeah.
This is something that's constantly around you, and you're constantly pushing, because that's what we're taught. If you don't have a sink to wash your hands, well, just carry around a bottle of Purell and you're good.
Even if you do, break out the Purell after you wash your hands.
I mean,
hands.
I go
there
to the
people who do that.
You know, Square One Mall, more so.
Yeah.
And I need a Purell bath.
You need a hazmat suit if you go into the Square One Mall. I was in there yesterday, and it's getting worse.
You need to be doused with something. Yeah.
Not as bad as Liberty Tree, which is just shut down a bunch more stores. But you know, but everybody sees these products; they're everywhere. They assume that they're safe because they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, we don't know. We don't know what prolonged, daily, deep exposure to these chemicals does to people. Doesn't seem to have any ill effects, because hand sanitizer has been pretty ubiquitous for about a decade now.
No, and absolutely. When you're walking down the aisle of a grocery store and you're looking at soap and hand sanitizer and you see all these things, I mean, you would assume, and forget about marketing and how it, you know, gets you to purchase their product, but just the sense of getting hand sanitizer, what would you fear?
Yeah. This is a healthy product, right?
Well, of course. I mean, it's just like purchasing, you know, a box of cereal that says like heart healthy and blah, blah. You would think that it's good for you just because of what it is. Now knowing, but I guess when you purchase that, you don't think about, as you said, the prolonged effects of it.
What you should fear is rubbing alcohol and ethanol on your hands. You know, I mean, it's you wouldn't rub whiskey on your hands all day long, which is kind of what you're doing.
Some people do.
No, but I mean, it's, you're kind of...
Essentially.
You're rubbing bourbon on your hands all day long and saying, oh, that keeps me healthy. You know, bourbon will kill a lot of bacteria. I love that about bourbon. It's my friend when I have a cold.
But is that your first sense when you're rubbing hand sanitizer, thinking about, oh, you know what, this may cause cancer 20 years down the line? No, nobody thinks about that.
No, because everybody looks at it and they say, well, it must be safe, you know? And maybe it is.
Because that's the type of product it is.
The point
when we
is...
we talk about a product to keep you clean and to keep you sanitized,
right,
as in the name of the product, why would you even think for a moment that it's going to affect you in a bad way?
But here's the point. We don't know, and the federal government doesn't know. And on the basis of that, you ought to think twice, especially if you are a pregnant woman, especially if you have a young child, of rubbing bourbon on your hands all day long. You should think twice about that, because no one has done a study that looks at the full impact of rubbing bourbon on your hands all day long. That might be bad for you.
One would assume.
Yeah. And hopefully it's not, and hopefully it's fine. I have a feeling this is going to turn out to be a lot of nothing, but it gives me pause knowing that this stuff has never fully been investigated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Now, is the FDA coming out and saying that this is products across the whole board, or is hand sanitizers, different companies use different makes up of ingredients?
They're going after all the companies. If you make hand sanitizer, you're going to be part of the study, and they want new data.
And for the majority of most hand sanitizer manufacturers, it's similar ingredients.
Yeah, they're pretty much all alcohol based. I don't know of any
some
that
may
aren't.
Include a little more like fragrance or whatever.
Yeah, but there may be, you know, everybody's got a slightly different formula for the stuff. But, you know, here's the broader issue. It's never been tested. And it was never necessary. Ethanol and alcohol and chlorides were never necessarily designed to be rubbed on your hands 5, 6, 7 times a day, every day. So that's where the FDA comes in and looks at this.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
When I'm at work, it's upwards of 20.
I don't think occasional use is going to be a problem for anybody, but if you use it chronically, you might want to wait a year, see what the FDA has to say. I will remind you that soap and hot water is effective and has no negative health consequences. Proven.
Or dirty hands.
1,000 years of civilization. That. In world news, in Istanbul, Turkey, the death toll now stands at 41 with 239 injured from yesterday's terrorist attack on Ataturk International Airport. Three men wearing suicide vests and armed with guns rode a taxi to the airport, one of the world's busiest. Upon arrival, the men opened fire and then detonated their vests. Two made it into the airport's international terminal, and the third detonated his bomb in a busy parking area. Officials believe the terrorists exploited lighter security at the airport arrival's gate. The taxi driver has been interviewed and released by Turkish police. Late today, Turkish officials said the first of the three suicide bombers blew himself up at a security checkpoint to create a distraction that allowed the other two terrorists to enter the airport. Still no claim of responsibility on this. Mm-hmm. Everybody's thinking it's ISIS. Yeah, probably ISIS. Probably ISIS.
Yeah, and I mean the fact that Turkey shares a border with Syria where ISIS has been taking advantage of the ongoing civil war there, it's very easy to point fingers. You know, also Turkey being with the U.S.-led coalition against a terrorist group.
Yeah.
They don't like Turkey.
There's some chatter coming out of the Pentagon that the terrorists may have been Chechen nationals. And if they're Chechens, then it's pretty much a guarantee that ISIS is involved in this, because the Chechens in and of themselves don't have any beef with Turkey. they do have a beef with Russia. Turkey has a beef with Russia. So Chechens are not going to go blow themselves. They're not going to go kill themselves on behalf of the Kurds in Turkey.
Now, after something like this happens, of course, many questions arise. One of them being which, with the positioning of, say, guards or security members with arms being inside security versus outside security. If you go into Logan Airport, for the majority, armed guards are only past security. Where this happened was in front of it. It was also outside in the parking lot. There are many people in that area. Think about if you go to Logan Airport on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. How many people are still waiting in line just to try to get their tickets or check in their bags?
But this is the way that Ataturk handles it. When you first get on the airport property, there is a security ring with armed guards.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get to the terminal, there is a security ring with armed guards. So they generally let the taxis through the first security ring, which is what happened here. They got to the second security ring, and when they saw that they were going to be actually searched, that's when these three guys came out commando style, according to some people, some witnesses, government officials, and started shooting at the guards. One guy goes down, the other two get in. So this is a very well-planned operation. And honestly, short of putting in some sort of a device that would detonate any bomb brought onto the premises, I don't know that there's any way that you would prevent this. It's not that there was weak security at the airport. It's one of the most secure airports on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the third busiest airport in Europe.
Yeah. These are determined individuals who likely have spent a lot of time studying the security measures and figuring out how do we get in there, how do we do this. You know, it's not like somebody left a back door open and these guys can just roll up and walk in.
So now my question is, do you think we're going to see these types of styles of attacks here our homeland?
They would like to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that they'd like to. The question
is, how easy a target the airport is.
Do they have the personnel in place to pull it off? Would be question number one. Mm-hmm. Question number two would be, where do you get the explosives from? Because it seems to be, and I could be wrong about this, but in general, it seems to be much, much harder to either manufacture or get your hands on
here in the United States
the amount of explosives necessary to carry out an attack in the United States. This is one thing that we're doing well.
Unless you're not, and you're doing a homebrew situation like the Sarnaeva brothers did for the Boston Marathon.
Right. But these are a couple of punk kids who threw a bunch of match heads into a pressure cooker with some ball bearings and took it down to the marathon.
No, absolutely. To acquire the types of equipment and things that you need to make these types of bombs, they're much easier to do over in the Middle East, or if we're talking about in Turkey and surrounding countries.
The death toll in this attack tells you that these are very, very heavy duty explosives.
Mm-hmm.
That these, because these guys are just wearing vests. You know, the way the pressure cooker bomb works, it's the containment, because when you compress an explosive and then set it off, the compression amplifies the power of the explosive. Now, not to diminish what happened at the Boston Marathon, but even with those pressure cookers, they didn't kill a lot of people. And they didn't wound as many people as were wounded in this attack.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were dealing with some hardcore high explosives, either manufactured by someone who knew what they were doing or bought on the black market.
Now, if the bomb is attached to somebody, does it have less of power than if it were to be on the ground somewhere by itself?
No, the whole thing.
Or planted.
No, because the human body provides no resistance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. If it just shreds apart instantly on detonation.
If you take C4 and you put it in a box, you're going to get a little bit more bang out of it. But the whole point of C4 is that you get a lot of bang out of it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You can just stick it on a wall and it's or stick it on a tank and it's going to blow holes in things. And the footage clearly shows these are some very, very high-powered explosives that these guys had. That sort of attack, I don't think you can pull off in this country. I don't think you can get your hands on the explosives. I hope I'm not proven wrong on this. What these guys can get their hands on is fuel tankers, airplanes, guns. We know they can get all the guns they want. And that's the kind of attack that they're left with. So, yeah, they'd like to do it here. they couldn't pull off that exact type of attack. It would have to be something else.
Now, what does this really mean for Turkey? Because we're talking about a country that there is a lot of talks. Essentially, terrorism for Turkey has just gone from bad to very, very bad. Yeah. There has been talks about joining the European Union. Do you think there would be some hesitancy after what just happened? Paris, Brussels. Now they add in Turkey, where this is happening some more?
Look, I think the general tide of populism and anti-African racism that comes out of, and Middle East racism that comes out of Europe is going to keep Turkey from getting in. Mm-hmm. Turkey got their free pass to for their citizens to travel around the EU. So they got that out of it in exchange for all of the migrants that Greece doesn't want. But full membership, the country is in a state of war right now, has been for years with the Kurds. Mm-hmm. You got ISIS up on the northern border. You got beefs going with the Soviet, with Russia. I still want to call them the Soviet Union all these years later. There's too much turmoil there.
But also in the other sense, European Union needs money.
Yeah, but
one thing that Turkey does have is money.
Yeah, well, Turkey has money because it's buying oil from ISIS at half price and then selling it for full price on the international market. Turkey's got economic problems too.
You're talking about a lot of problems in the European Union, but essentially we're going to be, you know, a year out from two more countries probably claiming bankruptcy, and it's all about the money.
I think given what's happened in Belgium and France and England in the last 10 years,
that's enough for them to say
no one is going to want to let Turkey in. You know, it would be a condition that you have to get things under control. We can't have any more terrorists coming out of your country. We can't have any more battles within your borders with you don't get along with this group of people and you're fighting each other. I mean, look what Erdogan did. They gave him a green light to go drop bombs on ISIS. And he sent two planes to drop bombs on ISIS and five planes to drop bombs on the Kurds. That's not a guy that they're letting into the European Union right now.
Mm. And he shouldn't be trusted. I still think there's some weird things going on in the Erdogan
and
family.
And we'll be talking more about Brexit later in the program. So stick around for that here on WMFO Medford.
Well, today in sports, we learned if you already didn't think the Rio Olympics weren't going to be safe, now there might not be any police. With barely a few weeks away to go in the 2016 Summer Olympics, protests by Rio de Janeiro police against a delay in salary payment and even lack of basic supplies like toilet paper have fueled worries about safety and security at the world's premier sporting event. Rio State has slashed budgets across the board, including that of the police. Helicopters have been grounded, and more than half of civil police fleet of cars have been idled in a bid to save on gas. The city is awaiting a bailout of its acting governor, who declared a financial emergency this month and called on Brazil government to release federal funds to host the games that begin on August 5th. One contingent of police that demonstrated at Rio's international airport with a banner that read, "Welcome to Hell." Police and firefighters don't get paid. Whoever comes to Rio de Janeiro will not be safe. That is exactly something that I want to see when I get off the plane in Rio. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, it constantly is going from bad to worse to worse. But at what point, and we said it so many times on this show, do we stop and say, this isn't a good idea? Now you have the police, the ones that are actually maybe going to protect you from all of these things that are happening, minus Zika, and you know, they're saying no. We're protesting. We're not getting paid. We're not going to police you.
Here's
not
a,
good.
Here's a quote from the acting governor of Rio, who got his job through some sort of
friend, because there's no corruption in
this guy's like 82 years
government.
This guy's like 82 years old, and he ran as vice governor just as a favor to a friend, and I believe the friend has since been indicted, which is why this guy is now the governor. This is
just like the Walsh administration indictment and Brazil government. They go hand in hand.
This is his quote: "I am optimistic about the games, but I have to show the reality. We can make a great Olympics, but if some steps are not taken, it can be a big failure." That was Francisco Dornelles, the acting governor of the state of Rio. It can be a big failure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the Brazilian soccer player recently that just came out and said, please stay in your country of origin if you want to be safe. Yeah. Apparently, that is going to be Rio's new slogan. It's like, come here for the party and stay because you're dead.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere. Now, the Olympic security plan, they want to have 85,000 police and soldiers. So that's roughly twice the amount that were available for the London Olympics. And it's a huge amount. Clearly, the money is not there.
I would say just dig a moat around the thing and flood it with the water from Pooh Bay. Also known as Guanabara Bay, Pooh Bay, as we call it here on the show. And the only way that you can get to the venues is...
Because you can't get them... by the train anymore, we understood it's
like we'll
finished.
Airdrop the athletes into the venues, but the only way anybody else can get into the venues is to swim across Pooh Bay. That might deter the terrorists. I'd say it would deter the fans, but I don't think any fans are showing up for this fiasco.
I can't even just think about that this is actually happening and how they can just paint. I'm wondering to see what the opening ceremonies are going to be like, because it's going to have like one ring lit up. Just babies crying in the back.
Yeah. I hope that we're not talking about this afterward and saying opening ceremonies marred by terrorism, which, you know, strikes me as being a real problem when they come out and say, yeah, we don't have any money for police, so you're kind of on your own.
It's actually funny how they're expecting to draw estimated crowds of 350,000 to 500,000 when that amount of tickets has not even been sold yet.
I don't think those crowds are going to show up. In positive news, they did finish the velodrome, I believe. Oh. I think the velodrome is done.
Yeah, they found enough scotch tape and Elmer's glue to put that together.
I saw a picture of the velodrome the other day that looked like a finished building. I don't know if the lights work or there's seats in it, but... it looked like a finished building.
Yeah.
So the velodrome has been built.
Interesting.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, the Olympic trials have been on, like, every night because NBC has no other programming. It's summertime, and, like, they don't know what to do. They're getting their butt kicked by James Patterson's Zoo on CBS. So it's like, hey, let's put on the Olympic trials. And I sit there and I watch this, and I'm crying every time the athletes are announced, because I'm thinking, no, you're going to get Zika.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you sit there and you watch it like, well, who's going to get the opportunity to go to Rio and get Zika along with their gold?
Not fun. Well, in entertainment news, we learned many men, probably including Derek, will not be turning into Miss Teen USA. Miss Teen USA has officially removed the bathing suit competition from its pageant. According to USA Today, the Miss Universe organization announced that the 51 women in the pageant will be judged in a brand new athletic wear competition rather than swimsuits.
Please do not say the word athleisure. Don't say it. Don't say it.
The organization hopes their decision will show their support for feminism and equality, while the bathing suit competition is intended to prove athleticism and hopes to wear the athletic wear will feel less expletive and more focused on the importance of physical fitness for its younger participants. Reigning Miss Teen USA, Catherine Hake, agrees at the pageant's decision. She said in a statement, quote, I have been an athlete my entire life. As a member of a softball team and competitive dance team, I spend a lot of time in athletic wear. This new direction for Miss Teen USA is a great way to celebrate our active lives that so many young women lead and set a strong example for our peers. This is crap.
I didn't watch Miss Teen USA before. I'm not going to watch it now. Does anybody watch Miss Teen USA?
Well, it's so funny. And what Derek is calling, this is what they're pushing, athleisure wear.
I said don't say athleisure. I hate that
this
word.
This is the buzzword that they're pushing.
Oh my God, so bad.
I need to wake up all the people that are trying to push this. What will show up on the stages of Miss Teen USA for athletic wear is going to be Lululemon booty shorts.
Nice.
And also half tops, sports bras.
Can they wear those?
Do you really think, because if I, put me aside, because what I wear, I mean, I'm wearing it right now, my gym clothes, they're very short shorts. But for the most part, if I'm playing, you know, playing lacrosse, I'm in oversized shorts that are down to my knees and then dirty, like ripped up t-shirt.
Yeah.
Do you think people are going to be advised, if they're in the Miss Teen USA competition, to be going up on stage in that? No, come on, this is crap. You're painting it as, we care about women, we're all about feminism and equality, so we're going to do athletic wear because we're strong women. No, it's not. You're going to show up in yoga pants and a sports bra.
Are they going to wear those Lululemons that you can see through? Because I might tune in for that.
Because I actually feel more comfortable in a breathable bikini than Lululemon pants that I basically can see the outline of my cervix.
Yeah, that's the best thing about them.
Right. That's like, that's, it's crazy that this is what they're pushing. And people are, you know, rejoicing and celebrating feminism and women making this big stride for Teen USA. No, you still have girls prancing around on stage. Good. By all means, do it, but paint it what it is.
Are they going to let them wear those new Nike tennis dresses that all the folks at Wimbledon hate? Because they keep blowing up in the air when you try and play tennis. Mm. So you might as well not be wearing a dress at all. Whole photo spread in the Daily Mail to the shock of no one. Yeah. Daily Mail, the Mirror, one of them. I don't care. You know, I think they should make them all wear the Star Trek bodysuits. You ever seen Star Trek The Next Generation? Make them all wear that. Go out. Say whatever you're going to say. Do your little talenty thing. And then let's get on with our lives.
But this is why people tune in. It's reality. People don't care about your answers. The only way that people are going to watch the long answer portion of the show is if you mess up and it is the meme on the next morning on the internet.
I think this might be a desperate plea for attention from a beauty pageant that no one cares about.
Hmm.
That might be the actual reason behind this rule change. Hmm. Possibly.
And Donald Trump isn't a part of it anymore, so I'm sure he would.
No, he never was. He was Miss. He was Miss. He was Miss America.
No, Miss Universe. And Universe and USA are together.
So he was Miss. Yeah, he was Miss USA and Miss Universe, but not Miss Teen. That wasn't.
Sure?
Yeah, that wasn't one of his.
Hmm.
It was Miss America.
Not Miss America. Miss USA.
Yeah, no, Miss America. Mm-mm. Miss America started on the Jersey Shore. That's the one that he was involved with.
Are you sure?
Yes.
We're going to look that up.
Because he owned casinos on the Jersey Shore. And he was running the boardwalk, and he bought the rights to that as part of his whole Trump empire thing.
Mm.
In technology news, you may soon be getting less news. This is a dirty little secret Facebook does not want you to know.
Mm.
Facebook announced that it will make changes to its news feed that will limit the amount of content from pages in its users' individual news feeds, a move that could harm media companies that use Facebook to promote their content if that content does not receive a lot of shares or interaction. The change will allow more content posted by users to appear in news feeds, something that Facebook has defined as a priority. So,
you mean more people can share their unintelligent opinions that off as news?
Oh, you'll still be getting memes.
Oh, good.
You'll still be getting everything that Kurt Schilling posts. Don't worry about that, my friends. I just gave you the sort of newsy, well, you know, this is the way a journalist would write this story. Let me see if I can break this down in a way that's truly understandable. There are two types of content that you get in your news feed. You get things posted by your friends, people that you like, people that you are friends with. Not people that you like, people you were friends with. You get stuff from them if they have decided you're worthy of seeing it. And you also get stuff from pages that you subscribe to, like mm-hmm. Big Picture WMFO. If you subscribe to us, you get an article every day because we publish it. It goes in your news feed, and then you get the chance to read it, share it, do whatever you want. That is the content that is going to be going away. Because Facebook is now saying, no, there's too much news in the news feed. Facebook is running as far and as fast as they possibly can from this mess with the trending stories, where one disgruntled employee talks to Gawker Media, and suddenly there's a giant anti-conservative conspiracy at Facebook, which there is not. There is one disgruntled ex-employee, which does not a news story make. But this has created all kinds of problems for all kinds of people. So Facebook, which can't figure out whether or not it wants money from publishing companies or not, is now taking this step. The folks who are going to be hurt by this are smaller organizations or organizations that are strictly publishing content onto Facebook to get it shared. If you're publishing stuff and it's not getting shared, you're not going to get seen anymore. They're the ones that are going to fall by the wayside. Time Magazine is still going to get seen.
Unless you promote your page, which costs money.
Even if, well, that's the other side of it, is you can always pay to boost a post. Mm-hmm. And Facebook didn't say anything about we're going to do away with that.
Of course not, because they like the monies.
Because it's like, we'll take $10 to, listen, you can pay to get your messages sent to people who have unfriended you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pay to harassment system that, you know, pay per harassment system that Facebook set up over there. I don't know. You know, as somebody who posts content on Facebook, as somebody who uses Facebook as an extension of the show, that's why we have the page. We have the page because it's a great way for us to reach lots of people without cluttering up our personal news feeds. Not that we would mind doing that. I share a lot of the stories to my own news feed. I know Lisa does as well. But friending us is not a way to get that. You have to go to Big Picture WMFO on Facebook and like us. They really need to stop messing around with the algorithm. Because I've always believed as a marketer, and I full disclosure, as a marketer who has skin in the game, people unsubscribe to pages that send them a lot of stuff that they don't like.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's that simple. You know, if you're getting a lot of junk every single day, you're like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't want this.
It's the same thing on any social media platform. It's too much. It's why you know, maybe don't defriend somebody, but you can block them or hide them because they're annoying.
Yeah.
Too many baby pictures? Block.
Yeah. So if you just block, if people just have the ability to block all that stuff, you don't need to do anything to the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what they've done once again is made it more difficult for small publishers and small players to get seen. Now, are there a lot of garbage content publishers, people like Upworthy, that are going to get thrown under the bus in this? Yes. Do I celebrate that? You better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Anything that cuts down on the amount of crap floating around on Facebook.
We're all on board for.
Anything that dries up the sources of misinformation that people in my news feed share as gospel truth, because they don't think critically, is a good thing. I would like to see all of that go away. At the same time, it makes it harder for people who are trying to get legitimate news out there. People spend so much of their time on Facebook right now. Whether Facebook likes it or not, it is a major destination for news. And you have an obligation as a destination for news to create a level playing field for different organizations and different points of view.
Well, think about it. I mean, we're talking about where, as you said, everybody is now going to Facebook, not only for social interaction, but also for their daily news. You don't have to go to your separate, you know, go to MSN.com in the morning, go to USA Today. Most of those stories are already going to be in your newsfeed, if not in the trending. So if you can do both at the same time, but when we're talking about only these big players in the game, that's almost like saying, we're giving you only certain news.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That's the upshot of this.
So what it comes down to is they're picking the news for us because of the algorithm they chose.
Well, their argument would be, though, that has nothing to do with us. That's strictly the algorithm.
Yeah. We don't pick
the news. Based on popularity.
Well, you're setting it up.
That's what the users say. And to which I would say this. If we let the users decide what food is sold, we would have nothing but donuts, cake, and ice cream in every restaurant. We don't do that because that's not good for you. That may be what people want. People may want cake, donuts, and ice cream.
Sounds good.
But they also got to get some vegetables with that. You need your artichokes. You need your broccoli. You can't just have the cake and the ice cream. So this non-solution that Facebook has come up with is a step in the wrong direction. And maybe they'll undo it. Maybe somebody will sue. You never know. Zuckerberg's a little busy building walls in Hawaii right now to be reached for comment.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You're fine. 5-day 4th of July forecast. We're taking you right through Monday here on WMFO 91.5 FM. It's looking good, I think. Maybe. Depends on what you're into. If the humidity was not working for you, you'll be happy to know that is gone tomorrow. We're drying out even as we speak. Still a chance of a shower around tonight, but then the clouds will blow away. Lows in the mid-60s tomorrow. High in the mid-80s, sunny skies, no rain, nice and dry. Beautiful, beautiful summer day. Go to the beach. Lows in the mid-60s tomorrow night. Friday, the humidity returns, and so does the rain. We have an 80% chance of thunderstorms on Friday. We need it. It has been way too dry. If you own a lawn, you know what I'm talking about. High of about 80 on Friday, back into the mid-60s Friday night. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Folks, we don't do much better than this. No rain in sight. It's going to be beautiful. Not too humid. Not too unpleasant. Highs, right around 80 on Saturday. Mid-80s Sunday and Monday. Lows in the mid-60s all three nights. Woo! So beautiful, beautiful weather for the 4th of July this year. Humidity very, very low on Sunday and Monday. Perfect. This is why we have the 4th of July, is to get out and celebrate summer. Perfect weather. Take advantage.
All right. Now, whenever I get the opportunity to prove Derek wrong, I do take that. The Miss USA beauty pageant, it's been held annually since 1952. It's also owned by Miss Universe organization, which operates both pageants as well as Miss Teen USA. The pageant was owned by Donald Trump from 1996 to 2015, previously broadcasted on NBC.
So Miss America and Miss USA are the same people?
Nope. Miss Universe, Miss USA, and Miss Teen USA.
Where's Miss America in all of this?
Miss America is separate.
I thought that was the one that he owned.
Nope.
All right. All right.
I am correct.
So you scored a rare point against me.
I wish our listeners knew how much excitement I take in this.
Who, by the way, is going to enter their daughter in a contest that provides access to Donald Trump?
Did you know I competed in the Miss Preteen Massachusetts?
Really?
I did.
Really? Did you win?
No, I did not.
You didn't? You know why? Because you were small and awkward.
I did a really bad dance to Surfing USA. Yeah.
You didn't win because you were small and awkward, that, like all preteens.
Yeah, backflip.
Preteens.
No, I was actually a little chubs.
Oh.
Okay. I think that's why I lost.
Yeah, but you were still small and awkward. Mm. That's what being a preteen is all about, being small and awkward. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that have happened in the past week right here on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Slow cooking, whether on your stovetop or in a slow cooker, can make the economical cuts of meat taste delicious. Less tender cuts like bottom round and brisket taste best if cooked in moist heat, so they're ideal for slow cooking. Since these cuts usually give you the most meat for your money, you can have economy and good taste. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. This is The Big Picture, and I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary. As always, we are here with you on Wednesday night, 7 to 9, and we want you to be a part of the show. Forget about the old number. We have a new number, so you're going to give us a call at 855-815-WMFO. Again, that's 855 915-9636.
Call it. Be a part of the show. We would love to hear from you. Don't forget, we're also on the internet, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. I have to give a special shout out to whoever turned the air conditioner in the studio off. That was a brilliant move. Whoever you were, well done.
I'm in my very small Nike Pro shorts that are sticking to the leather seat I'm sitting in.
It's not even real leather. It's faux leather. And it's leather. The stickiest and the worst.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's time for Did You Hear? The part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other on the past few days of the news. But we give you a little information. A little helpful.
You'll learn something.
Yeah.
You'll learn something that might save your life or your child's life. In the next 20 minutes, so.
All right.
Brace yourself.
Red Cross.
American or international?
The American Red Cross.
The American Red Cross. I would have something for you on the International Red Cross, but the American Red Cross. Oh, God. What did they... No, nothing on the American Red Cross.
The Red Cross is developing a new poster after being criticized by organizations for racially insensitive. So basically what the poster is talking about we're going into summer and safety around the pools with your children. In the picture, there are multiple children playing in the pool doing various activities. There is the cool and uncool things.
No, it says cool and not cool.
Cool and not cool.
And most of the things that say not cool are pointing to the dark-skinned children. Not all of them. Not all of them, but most of them are pointing to the dark-skinned children.
So the kid diving in the pool, the kid that is pushing his friend. Yeah, so they're changing that one. You know, lot of controversy, of course.
I read that, and it's like, I just don't connect the American Red Cross with pool safety. I don't know why they're in the business in the first place.
No, of course.
And they got all defensive about it, and they're like, well, those drawings aren't meant to represent actual children. And it's like, well, then why are some of them light-skinned and some of them dark-skinned? Give it a rest, guy.
Why wouldn't they be together? I mean, when I did lifeguarding, everything was done through the Red Cross. Same thing with CPR and... I'm like,
yeah, that's true. They do the CPR training, so that'd make
everything
sense.
First aid was pool safety.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised because I read that thing and I was like, yeah, there's something here. You know, this isn't people like overreacting.
No,
these are like drawings of children, and first of all the dark skinned children are the ones who are behaving inappropriately. While all the light-skinned children are doing what they should be doing in the pool.
All the cool behavior.
And then they have the words not cool with an arrow pointing to them. And first of all...
It looks like a 1960s sketch from a comic. That's what it looks like.
And by the way, they're completely wrong because everyone knows that the black kids are way cool. Joey Fatone. This one came out today.
Is he suing somebody in Within Sync?
No. This is something that normally that should be right up your alley. It plays into your strengths.
I don't know.
Joey Fatone, as filed this under Orlando, has not suffered enough. Joey Fatone is opening a new hot dog place at the food court coming to the Florida Mall in Orlando. That will be known as Fat Ones.
That's good.
Little play on the last name, Joey Fatone, Fat Ones. So you'll be able to get 100% Angus beef hot dogs, which, good, I like that, in a lot of styles. There will be a Reuben style, a Gone Hollywood, and the Boy Bander, which will include five mini hot dogs to represent the five former band members of NSYNC. You'll also be able to get Italian ice with your Fat Ones hot dog.
Is this the new Orange Julius?
This is
going to be the rage across.
I have a feeling Joey ate a lot of Italian ice when he was growing up.
Right.
I think Joey's still eating a lot of Italian ice.
That was from ice? No.
Yeah, no. I think Joey's got a sweet tooth, and he's like, oh yeah, bring on the Italian ice. You know, it's like But this is the latest Wahlburgers.
I was just going to say, everybody's this doing is what this all now. The stars are doing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just so happens that the Wahlburgers were able to capitalize on a really, really good product. But I was actually over at Market Square just yesterday, and I passed by it, and I smelled the onion rings, and I'm like, do not engage. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to see him behind the counter. They're going to have a couple photo ops. It's going to fall by the wayside. Unless, you know, E! Or one of the other crappy television stations picks up a reality show, which I wouldn't be surprised.
I guess I guess being in that Geico band just isn't working out for him.
No. Yeah.
I love Joey for that. He is without a doubt the most amusing ex-Backstreet Boy.
And he's still trying. He did the acting and...
You know, he's just out there doing stuff and having a good time. And it's like, you gotta love Joey.
Yeah. Zika.
It's bad for you.
It is.
The first baby born with microcephaly in the United States was delivered yesterday or today. One of the two. In Florida. Born to a woman from Haiti. It wasn't somebody who got it in the United States. And there are ongoing concerns about Zika's spread in our southern states.
See, this one was a little bit easier because I had two options for it. One being that, but also Senate Democrats on Tuesday voted the federal spending bill that would have provided $1.1 billion to fight mosquito-borne Zika virus, saying, of course, split right down the middle, Republicans had sabotaged the legislation with politically charged provisions. So basically what you have on either side of the aisle is you have Republicans saying Democrats are blocking it. Democrats are blocking it, saying Republicans set it up bad. What's going to happen? Now we're stuck with the southern states having an influx of Zika in the next month or so. Yeah, not good. Can we figure some stuff out on
I got to figure it
Capitol
out.
Capitol Hill?
Stay the heck out of Florida.
Yeah.
And Mississippi and the Gulf Coast of
Alabama.
Texas. Yeah. Don't go there. That's how you avoid Zika. Don't need $1.1 billion to tell you that. IKEA.
Ooh, IKEA. So after many babies have died by federal regulators, IKEA announced, I believe it was yesterday or Monday, that it had to recall, it's in the millions, I think it was 29 million.
Mm-hmm.
29 million. It is bureaus and chests. I think it was five small children had died.
Six. Yeah.
The chest had tipped over and crushed the babies. You know, this is one, the Swedish company is the biggest and largest furniture seller, especially here in the United States. So regulators are coming out and saying, no. IKEA did offer, so they're offering all their money back, but they're also offering a fix kit for it and a toolkit because they're saying, not our fault because it's supposed to be attached to the wall.
It is the mom dresser that they're recalling. You own one. I own one. Everybody owns one. If you've bought a dresser at IKEA, this is the one that's being recalled. They're, you know, look, if the kid is using the dresser as a ladder, which the kid is not supposed to do, this is a risk with almost any piece of furniture. These are particularly lightweight. If you overload the top drawer, yes, they get front heavy and tippy and top heavy and things like that. Securing them to the wall is a solution. Not everybody can do that. Watch your kids. Watch your kids.
Yeah.
This is a tragedy that doesn't need to happen whether or not the thing is mounted to the wall.
So now putting together the IKEA furniture isn't your biggest cause for concern.
Yeah. No, it's the dresser tipping over. And I mean, this, you know, it's a tragic story. It's absolutely tragedy when kids die. But why are kids climbing the dresser?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where parents need to watch the kids.
Abortion.
Is bad for the unborn.
And
the Supreme Court doesn't care. No, that's a... I'm being facetious and not in a good way right now. The Supreme Court voted 5-3 to strike down the Texas abortion rules, which, among other things, required that doctors have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital and that abortion clinics have substantially the same facilities as outpatient surgical centers, even though that is completely unnecessary. Justice Anthony Kennedy joined with the liberal members of the Supreme Court to get that 5-3 verdict, which, by the way, was the right verdict. I think we called that.
We, as so many times, have talked about this. We actually, one of our long segments, we went in depth on this. And as Derek said, what they were providing and what Texas essentially did was, at one point they had, I believe it was 52 abortion clinics. With this being passed in the second appeals court in Texas,